Welcome to Career Tools. This week, easing family fears during a job search. The questions this class answers are, what should I do first when I lose my job? Who should I communicate with when I lose my job? And when should I communicate when I lose my job? We're talking about family communication when you lose your job. And losing your job is awful in lots of ways. And there are some things you can do now to mitigate the awfulness. If you've just tuned into this cast because you'd lost your job this morning or yesterday or a week ago, I know it's a horrible place to be, but there are things that we can do to make it better. And one of those things is talking to your family. And there's lots of reasons why you don't want to talk to your family, and we're going to talk about those, but there's good reasons to do so. So what's our outline?
All right, our outline is, number one, communicate the loss immediately, then address finances immediately, and agree on a communication frequency.
So we're going to start with communicate the loss immediately. And Mark was telling me this story. He was playing golf with a friend who he knew had lost his job like the week before. And they were on the golf course, and Mark says, so what did Becky say to you losing your job? And Becky is the guy's wife. And the friend said, oh, I haven't told her yet. And it's been a week. And Mark said, we shouldn't be playing golf. You need to go home right? And tell her. I mean, what happens if she had bought like a diamond ring the day before because she didn't know that you'd lost your job? Go home, tell your wife, we are not playing golf until your wife knows. Because it's that important. I mean, hypothetically, we can all agree, I think, hypothetically, that we should tell our spouses immediately that we've lost our job. But practically and emotionally, it's hard to say to your family, I've lost my job. And it's hard to face the fact that what you know is that your job loss and the worry that will cause to your family. I can understand why people wouldn't want to do it immediately. Or they think, you know, my kid's got a really big test at school tomorrow. I'm not going to tell them until afterwards.
No time's a good time.
Right. And then the test isn't, he doesn't get a great result. And so you don't want to tell him then. And then the next day and the next day. And the more you leave it, the harder it will get, right? It's hard to tell someone in your family. But it doesn't get any easier with time, right?
No, it does not.
A week later, there is not less worry. It doesn't work that way, right? And children are not any more understanding, or wives are not any more understanding a week later. And by the way, a week ago, I changed my job. It's not like it gets better by waiting.
I think we can probably all agree that while Mark's friend's wife may or may not have been mad about the job loss, she will definitely be more upset about having been kept in the dark for the past week, not knowing.
Exactly.
It's the not knowing that's the problem, not the fact that you lose a job. And if you've lost your job through no fault of your own, your spouse might or might not be mad, but what we can pretty much guarantee is they will definitely be more angry if you keep it from them.
I can't imagine a relationship where that wouldn't be true.
No, I can't. I absolutely can't. As far as a relationship is concerned, a marital or significant relationship, it's really about being a team. You're in this together. You're facing the world together. And of course, not all marriages or all relationships are in that zone of perfect understanding with one another all of the time. And really, in all honesty, none of them are in that zone all of the time. It is possible that your spouse is going to be less than charitable about your job loss. But what we do know, and you know it as well, is that if you wait, you're definitely adding additional negativity, unnecessary negativity, to an already very difficult situation.
And before we go on, when we say spouse in this guidance, we mean husband, wife, partner, significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, or any other relationship which has a similar significance. We're going to use spouse as shorthand for all of those, because all of those or any others that you care to use, because otherwise this podcast will be 20 hours long every time we say the list. What we're saying is, if you lose your job, call your spouse immediately. And that kind of assumes that you didn't get your phone taken away from you and that you know your spouse's number, which many of us don't because it's in the phone. But as soon as you can. You know, if you have to drive home and call from home, you have to like get the computer going and put Skype on or whatever, then you have to do that because you can't communicate otherwise. But do it as soon as you can. And that doesn't mean, I was thinking about this when I was writing it, that doesn't mean for all the British people that you can go to the pub on the way home and just, you know, I'm having a cheeky pint and then I'll go home. Right? Like, you can't avoid going home. You have to go home. Home is the place where you're going to make that call from, you have to go straight there.
Yes. And this isn't really career advice. It's more relationship advice. And that's typically something that we steer away from. However, in our experience, there is no relationship that's going to benefit from waiting in these types of circumstances.
And that means leaving a voicemail if you get voicemail. And a lot of us will think, oh, I'm not going to leave bad news on a voicemail. Okay, but what happens if you leave a voicemail? Say you get home at 10 o'clock, you've just lost your job, they walk you straight out of the building, they don't let you keep your phone, so you drive home, you get Skype running, because none of us have phones at home anymore. You get Skype running, you call your spouse, and it comes up as an unavailable number or something, you know, where it doesn't know who you're calling
from. Blocked caller, yeah.
Right. And you say, hey, wife, call me back. And your wife hears it, and she's like, oh, I have a meeting with my boss, I have this, I need to do that, I'll call them later. And 5 hours later, they call you back, and you say, I had to tell you that I lost my job. That person's going to be mad at you because they didn't know how important that call was.
Right. And they're going to feel guilty for not calling you back immediately when there is no reason that they should have.
Exactly. I was reading on Ask a Manager. This Ask a Manager is a website about careers with Alison Green. She's fantastic. I love her. And she does question and answers. And she had a question from someone who had a horse. And the place where the horse lived, I don't know what the right word is, but they kind of bored, right, in horsey places, in a field or whatever. The place where the horse lived had called her office and said, look, the horse is really sick. I think I need to call the vet. Please call me back and say, you know, because calling the vet costs money. Please call me back and tell me yes or no. And the person who had taken the message was this person's manager. And she had decided that it wasn't urgent because the person didn't say the horse is dead. And so she didn't tell her. And by the time that she did give the person the message, it was too late and the horse subsequently died, which is awful. But that's what happens when you don't give messages and the messages don't say, this is urgent. I need to talk to you. Please call me back as soon as you can.
Exactly.
So don't leave a vague voicemail. Leave one that makes your spouse, and of course they'll be scared and they'll have heart palpitations and their blood pressure will go up, but that's the appropriate reaction to losing your job. You know, it doesn't matter whether you do that now or you do that in 5 hours, they're still going to be stressed about it.
Does it better
avoid that? Right, exactly. Anyway, I think I've made that point, so let's go to the next one.
All right, address finances immediately. And the biggest worry, a biggest concern after a job loss is always finances. Sure, there's a bunch of other reasons that we go to work, but at the end of the day, we go there because we're paid to go there. So there are all those other reasons, that disappointment, that anxiety, but finance is definitely the largest worry, the largest concern. Now, hopefully you've listened to our guidance on getting laid off, finances rule, and personal finance, save 10% of what you make. And you have the equivalent of 6 months of your salary in liquid savings. If you're listening to this cast and you're not likely to be in a job search soon and you don't have 6 months worth of salary saved, you ought to go listen to those podcasts now, because having that money available will remove 90% of you and your family's anxiety because that money is there. And then in that case, you may never need this guidance.
Yeah, if you do those two, you'll never need this one. So go listen to those first. That's really important. So addressing your finance during a job search when you've just lost your job means three things. First, take action. Download your last month's statement from all of your accounts and look to see what can be cancelled or put on hold or reduced immediately, and do that now. So if you went to my bank account, I have Hulu, I have Netflix, I have a YouTube subscription, yep. You know, and they're all like $8, $9, $10 a month. And so I have all of them. But if I wanted to reduce how much I spent, I have free cable from my apartment complex. I could get rid of all of those and watch the free cable. And if for some horrible reason I lost my job, which is this, so that wouldn't be good. If I lost my job, I could cancel all those three things, the Hulu, Netflix, and YouTube, and watch cable for 6 weeks while I am looking for a job. And maybe by a miracle, someone finds out I lost my job and emails me and says, hey, Wendy, I heard you on a podcast. Wouldn't you like a job? And I get a job 2 weeks later. I can reinstate Hulu and Netflix and YouTube. But if I don't do it, and 6 months later, I still don't have a job that was $30 times 6 months. I can't do the math because I'm not good at math. It's $180. That's $180. That's like 3 weeks of groceries that I could have had. I always like to take decisions if I can turn that decision around. So, for instance, if we're booking flights for Mark, and I know that those flights are cancelable or refundable, or I have 24 hours to change them, then I'll make the decision then because I know I can change my mind. And that's the same thing with these things that you're going to cancel. You can always change your mind. Your cable company will be really happy when you call back and say, actually, give me the sports and movies. They will put that back on your account in an instant, the moment you get a job and you feel comfortable that you can afford them again. So do that, even though you might think, it's going to be okay. I'm going to get a job in 2 weeks. Just do it just in case.
Just do it anyway. Secondly, communicating about your finances. Now, you know what's coming up in terms of your finances, but you need to communicate that. Depending on the ages of your children, this means communicating with your spouse and your children. It might even mean extended family too. It depends how much their finances overlap with or are connected to yours. Maybe you have a family cabin that everyone pitches in money for, things like that. And you want to make it as simple as possible. These are our outgoings. This is how much we've got saved. This is how long it will last. This is what we can do now. This is how long our money will last if we do this option, or this is how much our money will last if we do that option. Just making sure you communicate that, those needs, those things to those individuals is important.
People who have children tell me that they are much smarter, much earlier than you think they are, or at least I think they are. And children who are quite young will understand that he doesn't have a job anymore. And so we have to wait for the next game or Xbox, or we're not going to be able to go on vacation. They might not be happy, but they will understand.
Yes, absolutely they will. And third, we want to continue to look for savings and communicate about our finances. As time passes, there will be more things that come up that we need or that could be paid for. Maybe it's a school outing, a field trip, something that you didn't account for. Or new clothes for the new school year. School's coming up, kids need new shoes, things like that. Repairs or maintenance on your vehicle. You just want to keep continually looking for those opportunities to save money and keep on communicating.
Because the more pressure there is at home, the more likely it is that you will take a job that doesn't serve you in terms of your career or doesn't serve you in terms of your happiness. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and you may well need to get a job at Starbucks to give you grocery money. And nobody, especially not us, is going to criticize you for that. But if you follow the advice and you have 6 months worth of savings, you have 6 months to find the job you really want. And even if you didn't follow that advice, if you can reduce your expenses, you can also buy yourself some time to find the right job. Because of what we do, I get emails all the time about people who are in different parts of the job search. And I hear about people who have an amazing new job that they got, that they managed to get, and it's in a different state, and they're already out of money, and they can't afford to move to take up the new job. And it's just heartbreaking. It really does. It breaks my heart every time. And it's preventable because, you know, we can all save money ahead of time. We can be our own safety net.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And the next part to the puzzle is agree a communication frequency. Now, we just said we want you to keep communicating. It's easy to forget when you have so many other worries what you've communicated and who you've communicated what things to. So you want to choose a communication frequency that works for you and your family. You might need to speak every day about what's the progress I've made today? What are the actions that I did today in my new job search? And that might be very helpful as well, not just in communicating, but keeping you motivated on that future, that forward progress. I did these things. It makes you relive or go over that sense of accomplishment, all of the things that you accomplished in your day.
And you might also want to instigate a kind of one-on-one with your spouse and your family where you talk about the bigger picture each week. And we don't recommend one-on-ones for family or feedback for family. Please don't do feedback on your spouse, because a one-on-one is a manager's tool to deal with their directs. Like, it's a work thing. But it is a method of improving relationships by building trust and providing a space to communicate. So it has that kind of dual purpose. And so in this circumstance, you might want to consider a one-on-one format because it gives you a framework for your communication. And it gives both people or all the people, depending on how many people you're doing it with, a chance to communicate and to be heard. And it's something, if you're doing one-on-ones because you're a manager, or you're doing one-on-ones because you're an individual contributor and your manager does them with you, it's something that you're used to doing. And so that makes the conversation easier because you have that little bit of structure there and a little bit of comfort.
And you also, if you can, want to share your job search spreadsheet, which will show all of the actions that you've taken, all of the things that you've done, and talk about the things that you've done, the things that you will do, what are you planning on doing next, the things that you're thinking about doing, but not certain whether or not you're going to do it, and allow your spouse to contribute to that list. It's like brainstorming. The more ideas, the better.
Indeed. You're in it together, right? We said that.
Absolutely.
And don't forget to share both good and bad news. If you go to this much effort to communicate about your job loss, you don't want to ruin the progress you've made and the trust you've built by not communicating bad news now. A job search is never a straight line. It will have its ups and downs. It always does. There will be interviews you go to and you think you do really well and you don't get an offer. And there'll be other ones you think, I was awful, and you do get an offer and you can't work out why. It's just not a straight line, but it is a function of the work you put in. Sometimes people write to us and they say, I've been looking for a job for 3 months and I haven't got any offers. And I say, well, how many applications have you made? 10. Okay, 10 in 3 months is nothing. It's a drop in the ocean. It's, yes. To some extent, a job search is a numbers game. And the more you put out there, the more likely and the faster you'll get a response. And so your spouse needs to know that you're putting the work in to get the return, because the return won't come immediately. And they need to know that you are working as hard as you are, even if, you know, the fruition hasn't come yet, because there will be a period where you are in that search and it feels like you're just putting stuff out and nothing's coming back. And you need to be on the same page about that.
Absolutely. The more applications you put out there, the more options you have when you're deciding on which role to take.
That's true.
And if you don't communicate weekly with your spouse and your family, in our experience, what you're going to find that happens is you spend more time worrying about what to say and when to say it and how to say it, whether you should say it or not, than you would if you just would have come out and communicated with them weekly. It's just like before you did one-on-ones. There's this information that's all over the place and no one really entirely knows what's going on. It's all in these different forms and it doesn't have a place to be. Not only will you be worrying more, your family will be worrying more too. And it's not true in this case that no news is good news. At least it isn't for the people who don't get any news. Reporting bad news. There is a podcast called that. You know this yourself. All of those times when you know something's going on, but the boss hasn't told you that something is going on, they are so frustrating. You're so frustrated. You know that something's there, but you don't know entirely what it is. So you don't want to share that anxiety with your family.
And don't let the communication start frequently and then trail off because you only have bad news.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Almost worse than never communicating at all. Because when you're not communicating, you're eroding the relationship between you and your family. It makes your decisions harder and it will have a negative impact on the decision you make about the job you're going to take. We've talked before about having choices, choosing when to leave. jobs. And in the case where you can't choose to leave because somebody has chosen for you and mm-hmm. you've lost your job,
right?
Then you have to create other choices. And cutting them down by not communicating is not a good thing to do. And if you have lost your job, if you're listening to this because you have lost your job or you're facing a job loss, we have put together a resource page just for you so we can get you on the road to a new job. www.manager-tools.com/job-loss, all one word, JOBLOSS. There's resources, there's free podcasts and some of our products, so you can choose. You can get all the information that you need, and hopefully we can get this turned around and you can get a new job as soon as you can.
Absolutely. So to wrap it up, basically what we said was communicate, communicate, communicate as soon as you can and as frequently as you can thereafter. If the only thing that you take from this podcast is to communicate, then you have gotten the picture. Communication is so important in these times.
Indeed. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more guidance.